Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the first Friday of the month, Global Water Healing Meditation. Today is December 6th, 2024, and I'm happy to be here.
So am I. And I am glad you're here. Not still. I wondered if you were still going to be with the whale shark.
No. I thought. No. I always say I got to be home by the first Friday of the month. So I'm really excited to have my good friend Muriel Lindsay here today to lead the meditation. And Muriel is like a charter member of this group. She's been with us from the very beginning, over 10 years ago. And Muriel lives out on Tybee Island, which is a little barrier island off Georgia. And she's been out there for like 26 years, mainly to spend time with the dolphins that swim in the Savannah River. And also to work on her skills of communicating with the consciousness of water and weather, hurricanes in particular. And she's got several books, The Chronicles of the Savannah River Dolphins, The Dolphin Letters, Vital Information from Sea to Land, and Talking to Hurricanes. And she's probably going to revise Talking to Hurricanes after this year when we had Debbie and Helene and Milton. I think there's a lot more personal information about hurricanes that will go into this new version of that book. In addition to all her time connecting with water and dolphins, Muriel also does astrological chart readings, and she's been doing that professionally since 1977. So she's has a wealth of talents, and I think all of this time that you spend in the water really has changed you on a deep level. So I'm excited to hear what you bring us today, Muriel.
Well, it's interesting, actually, in keeping with what you just said, what the meditation that I'm going to be doing today has the most to do with is about the relationship of children with water and what that does for a child's development. So that is what showed up to be spoken to, addressed. And originally, I was going to do, and I still want to at some point, talk about the connection of water with when hurricanes come through and the role water plays and the energy of the hurricane and also in the creation of a hurricane. So, but I will save that for another time. So, so why don't we just go ahead and get started? And same old, same old. I want you to find a position that works for you. It can be either sitting or laying down. Squiggle into place and get comfortable. And you may want to actually do some twisting, twist your body from side to side. And also if you're sitting in a chair, you may want to do some head rolls to really loosen up your neck. And so you begin that by lowering your chin to your chest and then roll your head to the left, sideways, and roll it back. Lean your head back, roll it to the right, and then back down, chin on chest, and then bring it up again. And now go in the opposite direction. Chin on chest, head to the right, lean back, head to the left, chin on chest, head back up. And if you're laying down on the floor, you might just want to turn your head as far as you can to the right and then bring it straight up to the middle, all the way to the left, back up to the middle, and then let it go. So this, at this point, I want you to start clenching some of your muscle groupings. Clench your feet and your calves and your core and your arms, and even you can scrunch up your face and hold it, squinched up, hold it, release. Now do it all over again. Squeeze your toes, squeeze your hands, squeeze your core, scrunch up your face, hold it, and release. Now I want you to focus on breathing as if you're breathing through a straw. And so you're going to take a long, slow breath. Hold it, release. Again, breathing through a straw. Hold it, release. This time, close your mouth and breathe only through your nose. This is to be a long, slow breath and concentrate on filling your belly with air. Hold it. Release. One more time. Breathe in. Hold it. Hold it. Release. So now your relaxation is beginning to take over with no effort on your part. It's like honey on the rocks. And you find yourself going deeper and deeper into your inner space. It's like you're walking downstairs. You take a step down and another. And another, and a few more steps. And then you see a door in front of you. And there's a sign on the door. It says, "Come in." You enter into a room, and you see chairs facing a screen. There's another sign that says, "Be seated." So you sit down, and the room begins to become dim. And on the screen, you see the number 1 appear. And what you know is that you are getting ready to experience the first of relationships of children with water. You are going to have this experience with you being the child. So the first one you are going to be aware of is being born. So here you are, and you find yourself going through the birth canal. You feel the squeeze of this journey, and it's as if you are being hugged by a wave of movement that's pushing you downward. Down you go. And your head tilts back. And there's even more tightness. And then suddenly, there is a tremendous release. First of your head, then of your shoulders. And quickly following, you feel the release of your entire body. You are experiencing a water birth. You are underwater, and you begin swimming like a little polywog. The water is warm and velvety. Moving this freely is such a contrast to being curled up inside of your mother's womb. You have not taken a breath yet, and you have no need to, since your umbilical cord is giving you oxygen. Next thing you know, human hands reach out to you and grasp you. They feel familiar, and they are filled with love. These hands allow you to spend time underwater before you become as an air breather, and before you are brought out and placed on your mother's chest. These sensations of comfort in the warm water, in a state of trust and freedom, and the love that comes from the human hands, eases you into your human life with the knowledge of the kindness and generosity of the element that is water. Now you allow this experience to fade out. You look at the screen and you see the number 2. Now you are aware of yourself at age 8 months. You have been taken to a beach away from crowds. It is a private place. You are with your family. They are here and unpacking the car with a blanket to put on the beach and food for a picnic. While your mother is preparing, your father picks you up and carries you for the first time to the shoreline of the sea while holding you tenderly. The tide is gentle. You hear the lullaby of the water leaving and returning to the shore. Your nostrils are tickled by the sea air. The sun is gentle. It is fall. There is a warm breeze that makes you flutter your eyelids as it brushes your face. Your father walks back to your mother, spreading out the blanket on the sand. He sets you down on the sand for just a minute. You feel for the first time the sensation of all the grains of sand against your skin. You like this. You still hear the water you just met, and you feel an urge to go back to it. So you begin to crawl. Your father turns around, sees you crawling, laughs, picks you up, and places you closer to them. Once again, he turns away, just for a moment, and once again, he finds you crawling towards the sea. You are many yards away and in no danger, but your parents laugh at your desire to return to the water. This time, they pick you up and set you in the midst on the blanket. The sound of their laughter combines with the attraction to the water and the smell of the sea air. You are deeply content. This experience begins to fade, and you look at the screen and you see the number 3. Now you are a 1-year-old. You have returned to the beach with your parents, to the same private beach on a mild early winter day. Once again, your father takes you to the water. As you get closer and smell the salt air and hear the gentle surf, you start to wiggle with excitement. This time, your father goes out into the water, holding you tightly. He gets into several feet deep, and then he lifts you high in the air, and then he lowers you so that your feet, for the first time, touch the water. Your eyes get big with wonder. He is smiling, a huge smile at you. He raises you high with strong, sturdy hands, and then lowers you a little bit more this time. Your feet are covered with the water, and the water splashes on your body. You like the sensation. It is not too cold, and the sun is warming your skin just enough. You and your dad are sharing this water and sharing this joy. You have no fear. Ever so slowly, your father lowers you in up to your waist this time, and then very quickly whirls you up high again. Over his shoulder, he has a very soft baby blanket. Figuring this is enough for this time, he wraps you papoose style to take you back to your mother in the picnic blanket. As he's walking back towards the beach and the blanket, even though you're wrapped up like a little papoose, you manage to wriggle an arm free, and you reach out to go back to where the water is. He smiles broadly at this gesture, for he knows what this represents. And now this experience slowly begins to fade out. Now you look at the screen, and this time you see the number 4. Now you are 6 years old. You are at a beach with your playmates. There are 4 of you, and 3 mothers are sitting close by, sipping iced tea in beach chairs. The surf here today is very bouncy. It is summer and the sun is high when the waves from the water coming in as surf land with a sizable thunk sound. You and your playmates cannot stop squealing, and you run and you jump in the waves, and down it goes, thunk. The more you play, the more energy you have. Your squeals are getting swallowed up by the sound of the waves. You fall over and get back up, and fall again and get back up again, over and over. You do this, and it makes you all laugh. And you laugh, and you sputter as water gets in your mouth, but you don't care. You love it. You love everything about it. Every time you look towards your mother and her friends, you catch her smiling at you. She knows how much you love this playing with your friends and with the sea. And she also knows just how much this nourishes you. And now this experience is fading. You look at the screen in front of you and it says 5. This time you are an 8-year-old boy living in the Bronx in a tall, crowded apartment building. It's a very hot summer day in July, and your building does not have air conditioning. Once a week, a fireman comes and opens a fire hydrant so that water gushes out onto the street. As soon as you and the other children hear this, you come galloping out, just wearing your shorts. You plunge into the water, bumping into each other and jockeying for position. You make up games and even try leaping high in the air over the hydrant. All of you are beet red from the sun and from the heat, but finally you are cooling off. A police officer that you all know stands on the corner and watches you. He knows each one of you and is happy for your relief from the heat. Well, he knows this is a case of water to the rescue. And now slowly, this experience fades out. You look up at the screen and you see the number 6. Now you are a first grade child coming home from school. You have on a daffodil yellow raincoat and galoshes. You walk with classmates to the bus stop. The bus is late and it has been raining lightly all day long. Puddles have formed beside the sidewalk. You and the others delight in taking running leaps into the puddles and swamping whoever is standing close by. After being in a classroom all day, the rain is exhilarating. It is cool but not cold. You feel like a little puppy dog who has just jumped over this fence and escaped. Big clouds are racing by overhead as more light from the sky starts to filter through. You lean your head back to look up. Soft rain drops kisses on your face. You close your eyes so you can concentrate on what that feels like. It is pure heaven. All is well. And now that experience fades. And now you look up at this screen and you see the number 7. Now you are a child living in a subdivision that has a community pool. All the families living here know each other, and it feels like a safe community. Children spend much time in the summer in this pool. You go there with friends, but you also like to go at times when you're the only one in the pool. You are a good swimmer, and you are able to hold your breath very comfortably underwater. You like to imagine that you are a sea mammal, a seal, or a dolphin, or even a whale. You are mesmerized by the light patterns filtering down that move on the bottom of the pool. Sometimes you watch them for so long, you realize that you can hold your breath longer when you are focused on something and not thinking about the need to breathe. This is a tremendous discovery. Your other favorite thing is turning somersaults off the side of the pool and feeling the water accept you with loving arms made of bubbles that tickle you from head to foot. These times in the water shape much of who you will become later in life. It is teaching you so much about gifts of sensation that you get to feel in your body with all of your five senses. This will serve you well in understanding what bodies are good for. Now this experience fades out, and once again, you're looking up at the screen, and this time you see the number 8. Now you are a preteen. You have been given a boogie board for your birthday. You go out with your brother to try it for the first time. You've watched others ride waves on these small boards, but you never have. You and your brother walk a block away to the beach to try it out. You are a good swimmer, and you're very comfortable in the water. When you get to the beach, you see that the surf is up, but not too high. Others are out on the water on their boards. You watch them for a while. Then your brother grabs your hand and puts your board under his other arm. And the two of you go beyond the mild breakers where the waves start to form. He puts the board down on the top of the water and gets you to grab it and hoist yourself on top. He holds you there as he turns around to watch to see when a wave is forming. He keeps looking while holding your board steady, and at just the right moment, you hear him yell, "Go!" And he gives you a shove. The timing is perfect. You feel this force under you, carrying you forward. There is nothing for you to do other than feel the thrill of water moving you and feeling the power and the support of it. This was your first board ride in the beginning of hours spent for days on end experiencing that same thrill as you in the water became a team. It was the sensation of being carried that you liked the best. It also is the beginning of your discovering the joy of surfing, which you will take up later. And now this experience fades out. So as you allow these experiences to fade even further, you will slowly be aware that you are in the room, sitting in the chairs with all the others that are here, looking at the screen, waiting for what's next. What appears on the screen this time are two words that simply say, "The end." Upon seeing that, you stand up and you head towards the door. You are now going to go back up the steps, one step at a time, and what you will notice is that with each step up, you become more aware of aspects of your body. And the first thing you notice is air going in and out of your lungs. And you take another step. Now you're aware that you have a body and that this body is located in a space of a very particular location. It may be in a room, it may be out in nature. You take another step. You keep your eyes closed for a bit longer, and this time you're focusing on feeling your skin noticing the texture of whatever your skin is touching. And even, if possible, feeling the sensation of the atmosphere on your skin. And now you are all the way at the top of the steps, and you are back in your body. Your eyes are still closed. So you squeeze your toes, and you curl up your fingers, and you let a big old stretch pull you further into your body. And then slowly you open your eyes and look around and get your bearings and say thank you to your imagination for this gift of taking these inner journeys. And also say thank you to your inner child for being with you to remind you of your relationship with water in such nourishing ways. And know that you've got to experience at least some of this when you yourself were a child. So the water in me says thanks to the water in you for coming along. And the water sees to it that we here on this call, gathered together as we do month after month, are always connected. And so it is.
Thank you, Muriel. Yeah, we are always connected by the water in our bodies. And that connects us to the water around the planet in every form. So, yeah, we are always connected. Is there anyone who'd like to share something or has a question for Muriel? If so, star 6 and tell us your name.
Hi, Muriel. This is Shoshana. That was so fun. I can't tell you. I've been swimming since I'm 18 months old, and it took me so back to my childhood of swimming because I grew up in Miami, and it was just great and delicious. So thank you. Thank you very much. It was lovely.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. Has anybody on this call, by any chance, do you have a water birth? Were you born under the water? Just curious.
Doesn't sound like it.
That doesn't sound like it.
No. Did you?
No, but oh my. I would do it in a heartbeat if I were the pregnant mother. Oh, 100%. It would be a no-brainer.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a really beautiful way to come into the world instead of into the bright lights and
I didn't come in that way, this is Bonnie Blue. I have an early memory of falling into the swimming pool when I was either 4 years old. I think I was about 4 years old, but it's one of my earliest memories, and I just remember feeling not frightened, but at home in the water.
Mm.
And I'm sitting here by the swimming pool. I just did a meditation in the swimming pool, and I felt when I'm in the water, it gives me life, because my entire childhood, I was a springboard diver, so every, 6 days a week, I was in the water until my 20s, and it's just, I feel it gives me life, it gives me breath, it gives me, it's mind, body, and spirit healing, and you brought me back to that feeling, especially when the children were spinning in the water with the bubbles, how they connected with the bubbles, and I just and funny, I don't know if you heard me say Jeremiah right before. I realized we were still on. A lifeguard walked by, and his name is Jeremiah, and I was going to give him one of my healing dolphins for his new car as a keychain, and that's a little sculpture that came from the dolphins. But I realized that it reminds me of Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Yeah,
which led right into your meditation. So
That's
thank
great.
You, Mariel. Beautiful to relive those childhood moments and the ones at the beach, too, as a child, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, I think in truth that whenever we adults get back in the water and play in the surf, that we really do just regress. We're back to being that child.
Mm.
Or maybe I should speak for myself.
Hi, Muriel. This is Lori Rion, a Master Cat Buddha. I really enjoyed your journey, and I was having the fondest memory of hearing my parents talk about me when I was a baby. I grew up in rural Nebraska, and our parents would go out to the sand pit. It was a gravel pit, and the river ran through it, you know, and my parents would tell the story of how when I was just a baby, they would take me out and support me in the river, you know, and my dad said he had his hands underneath, swimming like a little frog. And I just took to the water, you know. And at one point, the diaper went down the river, and they couldn't get it because they had to hold on to me. So hard, they said they lost the diaper. But over the years,
my goodness.
In our community, he taught everybody, took him out to the gravel pit and made a diving board and everything. And I think, you know, our little town, so many people learned to swim because of my dad. He would be out there treading water. Cool, you know, so many memories of loving the water and as a child and having that support from my parents.
Those strong, sturdy hands,
yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Kind of fun, huh? You know, water's
lucky, fortunate.
So, yeah.
Well, there hasn't been a day in any of our lives where we weren't connected to water in one way or another.
Right.
Whether it's taking a shower or drinking or, you know, when you think about it, it's other than air, it's probably our most constant companion.
Well, you know, I sometimes, at some point I had this thought that when you're, like, let's say you're in the desert and you're lost and there's no water and you're, you know, your life is on the line if you don't get water, and what that might feel like to have that experience. And I think feeling that the water inside of us is leaving has got to affect us so strongly emotionally. Because water has so much to do with who we really are, with our emotions, our feelings, and to feel all of that evaporating, it's not just like you would panic because your life's on the line. It would be sorrowful to let that moisture inside of you go. I was born with a mild form of ichthyosis, which means I just don't, it's hard for me to retain water inside of me. And in truth, the only time my skin is normal is when I'm in the water. And then it looks just totally normal and feels normal. And then when I get out, especially salt water, then it retains that for a period of time until I get back in the water. So I sometimes feel like I was a dolphin that took a wrong turn because I don't do well out of the water. It's my skin suffers.
So. I agree. I think our skin is so much nicer. It's more radiant, you know, when we get out of the water.
Yeah. It's all nice and plump.
Yeah. I think it's just a wonderful addiction to have to get in the water.
Oh, I do too. There are worse things in life, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Great. Is there anybody else who'd like to say something?
I heard someone try to star six, but they didn't come on, so maybe they did six star like I used to do. Try again. I heard the little beeps.
I heard a beep.
Hey, Muriel, this is Linda. I was curious. Oh. This was a journey of your own life, you know, except for the eight-year-old boy in
Yeah, a lot of it was. That's very perceptive on your part. And now the baby crawling away when the parents are on the beach, that actually happened to a psychiatrist friend of mine. And he had a very young baby. And, of course, they were far from the water. But every time he put that little baby down just for a minute, you know, to turn around and do something, that baby was just headed straight for the water.
So is that baby very enjoys the water now?
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. Very much so, yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a wonderful meditation. Thank you.
Thank you. And I had said to you when you did the meditation last month that what I was going to do was very connected with some of what you were doing. That was not this. That was more about talking about the hurricanes and the connection with water. But like I said, I'll get to that later.
Okay, but I'm curious about your hurricane one. I'll have to check your book out.
Well, I think what brought children to mind, I just think of Christmas season. It's just, to me, it's all about wonder and the joy of children. So I think that's kind of why it preempted.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else?
Yeah. Hello, I'm Emily, and I got really emotional during that whole thing in a really beautiful way. So thank you.
Oh, good.
And also wanted to touch on the desert. I was full-time nomadic for 2.5 years, a couple years ago now, and it's never left me that exact sensation you were describing about the preciousness of water and being able to actually really feel that and realize it. I walk with water really deeply anyway, doing ceremony and sitting with it for a long time, but that changed me forever because I had to always carry my water. I had to go fill my 30-gallon tank in my RV if I wanted to be able to have water. We lived out in the wilds of the Sonoran Desert in the winter. So it became it was a deeper reverence than I already hold because every drop of water I had to carry and refill.
Yes,
and I actually had a limited sense versus being able to just turn on the faucet. I had to think about everything. I had to, and like we also had solar, so I'm moving by the sun and the water. Everything revolved around that. And
goodness.
Yeah, it was the most incredible experience. It was also amazingly difficult, which I loved. That was a part of the reason I wanted to do it. But it was also it really got me connected to the elements. And when I'd be out hiking in the mountains and in the wilds of the desert for hours, you know, I'd go all day sometimes up into the mountains and really sometimes push myself too far and got to that point where I'm like, I need to go back and get water because I've run out of water now and I know I only have a limited time in this hot desert before it gets to a level. So it was just like such a deep reverence of it. And also hearing the water birth and moving through that meditation of the water birth, I personally did not have a water birth. I was born in a very standard hospital type situation. And I really got emotional during that part because I really felt the sensations and like was connected to maybe other lifetimes where I have had a water birth or was just able to tap into that feeling of what that would be like since we are water beings and the water connects everything coming from the womb waters into this gentle warm water and having, like, when the mother's hands came down, there was just these rays of light coming out of the hands of this love of the mother. Wow. Since children are a little bit more psychedelic in state, glow connect, more connected in that way before we get this worldview, you know, and just feeling that sensation of being held and suspended for a moment and then being brought out of the water, it just made me so emotional because I just really have a lot of opinions about the birth system and business, and love seeing this movement back towards what we've done for thousands of years as women, which is know how to birth our babies and birth in power and birth in sovereignty, you know, and it's really important to me how children are brought into the world. It's such an important imprint that happens. And so just having that experience was really healing, actually, in a way for me to be able to really go there and feel what that would be like, and really, really appreciate to be among other water carriers and people who are really connected and understand this mysterious, wonderful element that we are.
That's so beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. Have you ever been with the Bedouins?
No.
I initially was wondering if you were, I didn't know where you were in the desert, but I don't know why. It occurs to me to say if you ever have a chance to connect with them, I think it might.
The Bedouin?
Uh-huh. That culture.
Okay. Part of my lineage is Anishinaabe Ojibwe, and so that's where my water ceremony wisdom and lineage come from. I don't know if they also work with water in that way. It sounds like they do.
I don't know anything about them. I just felt like I needed to suggest to you that if you ever have a chance to be with them, that you check it out.
Thank you. I will.
Mm-hmm. This is Allison.
Is there anybody? Yeah.
This is Allison, and Muriel, thank you so much. This was super. Okay, let's hold together. Very emotional for me. I felt like you took us all through kind of a rewriting of how we came into this world by doing the water birthing. I recall another meditation that you did, maybe it was 2 years ago, when it was the consciousness of water spoke to you about what it means for us, for babies to be born into the water. And I actually got an email from you of that, and I shared it with my women's group because I wanted to envision a future world where that was an option.
Oh, yeah.
At a hospital or whatever. But I felt like, you know how you rewrite the traumas in your life? Or you could do that. That's a healing modality. I felt like that's what you kind of took us through, because nobody here spoke up and said, I was born, water birth. And that, long ago, I heard of it, I just thought, oh my gosh, that's the way we should have an option to be born that way because of what water, the consciousness of water. And I think I just got emotional because it's almost like watching a life review in a way, but you do it through your own filter. And how just remembering the positive times, because I've had some trauma times with water too, but the positive of my parents, everyone smiling, laughing, all these experiences. So that was very healing. Thank you.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. Absolutely. And also there are instances of, in certain locations where this has been possible, I'm not up to date on what's going on right now, but of dolphins being present with underwater births and participating. And of course, it stirs up all kinds of controversy, but just knowing that with their intelligence and their awareness of who we are and their reverence for us and their ability to use their sonar to assist energetic shifts I mean, I can't think of a better midwife than a dolphin. And like I said, I'm fully aware that's a very controversial thing to say, but that's how I feel.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I at least twice a year I get emails from people asking me, where can I have a birth in the water with dolphins? And I'm like, I don't know.
There used really to be there used to be a place in Australia, and a woman who was a real proponent of that, and
mm-hmm.
and I haven't seen anything about that in a long time, so I don't even know if it still exists. So
I think in Hawaii, I'm not sure. I heard what you're saying, and I swear somebody was doing that in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think so too. That rings a bell.
There was somebody who attempted doing that. This is Linda. There was somebody who was attempting to do that for years. She's not alive anymore, but she definitely attempted it. I don't.
Star Newland and Michael Hyson, who have passed over now, had the Sirius Institute.
Yeah.
And they bring pregnant women to their home, take them out to swim with the dolphins. But technically, it was illegal to birth with the dolphins. And of course, now it's illegal to swim with them. But they did amazing work. I had her speak at a conference I did over there. And they were so dedicated to it. So I'm hoping that can come back. Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah. But I know in Europe, I think in Italy and perhaps in Portugal, there's possibilities over there to do it.
I think there was people in the Red Sea.
The Red Sea was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw a video of a woman that gave birth off in the ocean off the coast of Brazil. And I don't remember her name, but it was so magnificent. It took you through her whole pregnancy, and it was just extraordinary what she did. And then, of course, her child was born and went on to grow up, and she said he is the most peaceful human she has ever met in her entire life. Mm. And I think that, and she knows that part of it is how he was born, just made for.
How he was brought in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The most natural, I think we have, you know. And I think it holds space for this to become very common on our planet, where children can be born with dolphins in warm water.
Well, in her case, the baby, her husband, who was a doctor, was there, and also a friend who was photographing. And her husband allowed the baby to swim under the water for like 3 to 5 minutes before they even brought the baby up. And can you just imagine coming out of the womb and swimming for 3 to 5 minutes before you take your first breath?
Yeah, wow. Cool. I was watching a lady. She did have, she literally, the video, she was just with her family, but she had her baby in the river that was by her house. I wonder if, I can't remember where I saw it, but that might be like, check out YouTube or something. But she literally, and I thought that was so cool. I mean, it'd be literally from her body to the cold river.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, that's just how they. I thought that was very, very cool.
Yeah, there's some concern about bacterial content in the water, and so you know, there's some common sense elements that need to be understood and addressed. And so, but anyhow, I think we're kind of idealists here, but we're also visionaries, and we're aware that this is a very transitional time in the human race, and we want to get our 2 cents in about what we think is going to make a better world.
I remember Star showing me research that I did some further research on these children that were born in Europe.
with dolphins, that there's been continued research done with them. And a couple of the babies, they had them in a swimming pool. And the baby, when they let go, when they're like about a year old, they would just naturally float down to the bottom of the pool and smile and blow bubbles and hold their breath for long periods of time. And grew up to be incredibly intelligent and peaceful. And some even had the sagittal crest on their forehead. And they were, you know, I mean, from my perspective now, from our school working with dolphins, you have to realize the DNA is being calibrated when they're born. But the dolphins are there because they're this natural midwife.
Oh, yeah.
Three dolphins.
Got chill bumps with that one.
His granddaughter was born on the edge of the Black Sea. I'm remembering that now. And three dolphins came, and he watched it. I mean, they naturally came to midwife that baby. So there's a lot of potential here, you know.
We really
need to hold space.
Well, the other thing, when we're on a path of raising our frequency and expanding our awareness, our consciousness of what it means to be human in this transitional period, we receive help, we receive guidance, so it's like we're guided not to do something that's going to be problematic. Yeah. And that's hard to explain or justify, you know, that's an inner understanding, and if someone hasn't arrived at that point themselves, then they're very skeptical. They think you're being overly idealistic and naive, whereas in fact you're being very guided.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of potential.
Well, everyone. Yeah, this is a great conversation, but we're just about on the hour. So I think we're going to wrap it up. And I want to thank everyone for being here today, and thank you, Muriel, for another. You always come up with very interesting meditations for us. I'm very glad you agree every year to do this, so it's wonderful.
Oh, no. It's an opportunity and a pleasure, so thank you. And by the way, yesterday I was losing my voice. And I had sniffles big time, and I'm like, no way, I am not going to be there for this meditation. So I just willed myself to get better, and I am much better today. Happy to report.
There you are. Well, I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. We've got a lot of holidays coming up between now and our next meditation on January 3rd, which I'll be leading. So have a wonderful Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, whatever else is coming down the pike. But enjoy yourself, be safe, and have a wonderful time. So I'm
Aloha.
Going to unmute everybody, and we can all say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Aloha.